Here, we four are going to talk about this idea of everyday writing. And, you know, we have all worked with everyday writing in some capacity with Yancey over the past 10 years. And so Yancey and the editors of this collection brought us together to talk about everyday writing. And we could really talk about anything we want, but seems as though we are probably going to talk about, where this has come over the last 10 years, what hasn't been published. You know, the great thing about a podcast format that we have here is that, like, we could talk off the cuff about things that, like, you know, that we've talked about that never probably made it to publication. You know, we could talk more candidly about that kind of thing, and where we think this is going, everyday writing as a concept and what the value of it is. So that's really where, you know, this podcast is probably heading.
In the spirit of candor, please stop saying 10 years.
Yeah. It's like, you keep saying 10 years and I'm like, no way. And then it becomes real that it's been 10 years.
Not quite.
Stop it. Stop.
It was fall.
Okay. Yeah,
it was fall. We still got six months.
It was 2 years ago. Yeah.
You know, this might be a good time to maybe introduce ourselves briefly.
Jacob Craig, College of Charleston. So yeah, so she was my dissertation director. I read May Not Only in Words, like, probably my first semester as a master's student. And yeah, she just sort of described me on the page. I was doing a bunch of writing because I had all these reasons that didn't have anything to do with school or grades. And just her point, like, about leveraging what's happening culturally in school kind of felt like a powerful argument to make, especially in 05 when everything was very naive.
Aaron Workman, DePaul University Associate Professor of Writing, Rhetoric, and Discourse, and Director of First Year Writing. I first encountered Kathy's work in the practicum that I took my first year as an MA student, and read it. It was like a chapter from her book on reflection, and so I got more interested in reflection and then transfer research, and decided that Kathy was like the person I wanted to work with, and I was lucky enough to have that happen.
I'm Jeff Napsinger. I'm an assistant professor of rhetoric, composition, and writing at Sacred Heart University. I worked with Kathy. She was my master's thesis director and my dissertation director. My introduction to Kathy was, you know, reading some of her stuff in undergrad and the Florida State editing, writing, and media major. I came into Florida State as a master's student. I had worked with Chris Falkenstein and Michael Neal in undergrad. And so coming to the master's program, I was like, oh, I'm going to work with them on some kind of thing there. But I think as soon as I took a class with Kathy and, you know, encountered her boxes of junk and things like that, I was like, this is kind of more aligned with the things I'm interested in. And then we kind of fell in together, and she, you know, ushered me through and assisted me as I moved on and did my work on the mundane.
And I'm Joe Sirio. I'm assistant professor of writing and first year studies at Stockton University in New Jersey, soon to be associate coming this fall. So I'm also our WAC director, and also soon to be the first year writing director in the fall. For me, I think I encountered Yancey's work in a digital rhetoric class I took with Mo Folk at Kutztown my junior senior year, and we read May Not Only in Words. And what's to me interesting about that is that the digital rhetoric, the way in which Mo Folk approached the class was that digital rhetoric was ubiquitous. He talked about it really as everyday writing. He didn't have to use the language of everyday writing because, you know, that's not really the kind of field way we talk about this stuff. But he was huge into, and this is, again, this is probably 2010, 11. So the whole class was like a millennials, people who grew up making stuff, you know, back in the day when you used to break into MySpace and you used to like be able to code it, you know, code your space or your live journal, you know, people were obviously digital native is not real, but, you know, we, in this class, we knew, you know, that we could like do stuff online. We were able to like produce writing in really compelling ways. So a lot of the conversations that we had were about, look at the cool stuff that you guys are already doing that your education really hasn't caught up to really theorize yet. So we had read Yancey's made up only in words, which really talked about that. And so I was really into that idea, you know, the idea where she said, like, we have not caught up to the kind of complex, interesting writing and genres that our students are already doing that we haven't even paid attention to yet. So that was my introduction to Yancey initially. And it kind of goes to, like, she has clearly been thinking about this kind of thing for a while, right? And, you know, I think she landed on the phrase everyday writing sometime, you know, once we arrived at Florida State, you know. But this is clearly something that she had been interested in, this kind of, like, writing that people do so that's self-sponsored, that is for their own purposes. So that was my introduction to Yancey. And then I came to Florida State in 2012 and, you know, worked with Yancey through my master's and PhD. Jeff, Aaron, and I, and Jacob, you weren't in this class yet. I think you were still around campus. Yancey did an everyday writing class. I believe this was fall of 2014. She taught a class on everyday writing, and we're all graduate students of Florida State, and so all the faculty members get to do, like, their one special class every, like, 5 years, and Yancey's in 2014 was everyday writing. And so, which was, like, such a weird class, you know? Weird class in the sense that, like, you know, it wasn't even really a field of study. It was just, like, a thing that Yancey just wanted to do. And the kind of lasting memory for myself about this class was the day she kind of came to the class with, like, a box or a big old bag of just random stuff. And she tells the story, and she talked about it in her interview.
There was a kind of eureka moment. That was one. And the second one was visiting a used bookstore in Old Town Alexandria with some of my sisters, and I was looking for used postcards, and we wandered around. I looked a little bit, and my sisters, I mean, I've told the story before, my sisters understand that I'm something of a researcher. They have no interest. I mean, I'm like, you know, like four words in, so not happening. This they liked. This resonated with them, because it resonates with everybody one way or another. And so I'm asking the nice person at the desk, it's called the Book Bank, I think, if it's still around. And I'm asking the nice person at the desk if they have any used postcards, and I'm willing to buy them depending on, you know, whatever the cost is. And she pulls out this box that has postcards, cards, letters, photos, and she says, "Here, have it." You know, like, I'm the trash person. I've come to, you know, and I said, "Can I pay for this?" "Oh, no, 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 take it away." And I thought, you know, there's a project here. This is really interesting. And we haven't studied it really to speak of.
And she brings it to class, and she just kind of divvies it up. And she just says, "All right, here's a bunch of, like," it was just a whole bunch of stuff, like, you know, notes, postcards people wrote, receipts, tickets, like a whole bunch of, like, random ephemera. And she just gave it to us. I think we were in little groups, and she just said, "All right, tell me what you think about this. What can we learn about writing from these things?" And to me, the reason why that's such a lasting memory is because that's just the thing that's just so interesting. Like, here's a pile of things. Here's a pile of writing. A bunch of stuff that, like, people forgot. They literally forgot it in books. And I want you to tell me what this pile of junk tells us about writing. And to me, that, I think, is a great way to kind of think about everyday writing as something as, like, it's just stuff. It's things. It's all around us. And if we just take a moment to look at it and ask, like, what does this even mean? What does this writing even do? I think that is at the core of, like, why I think a lot of us are interested in everyday writing, because it opens up just possibilities.
Yeah.
So that's, to me, my long-winded story.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely agree about the last part about, like, that's why everyday writing appealed to me. It's funny because I, until you brought it up, I totally forgot about that activity in the class. I think, like, I've always been interested in everyday writing. I just didn't know that there was, like, a term for it until mm-hmm. Yancey. I, like, in my mind, Yancey just kind of, Kathy just invented this term and was like, "I'm going to do a class on it because I have all this stuff, you know, in my office that I want to show people." And I feel like that's, you know, even in undergrad, that was kind of my way into, like, rhetoric. And then I kind of fell into composition through the connection of, you know, rhetoric and composition. But all of my projects were based on the most mundane, ephemeral, kind of, like, minute things that I could find that, you know, I wouldn't have terminologically knew they were considered everyday writing. But as soon as I had this class, it was like, oh, yeah, this is what I'm actually interested in. And so everything in that class from that moment has kind of shifted the way that I have studied, you know, and researched, and also just been like, oh yeah, what I want to know isn't like a niche thing that just I want to know. It's something that, you know, would be useful for other people to know.
Yeah, that is also how I remember experiencing the class, where it was like, we have maybe one meeting and we're talking a little bit about it, and all of a sudden there are all of these different pieces of everyday writing that I'm like realizing have been important to me, but I haven't had a way of thinking about it. And I agree that shifted the way that I approach like the transfer research, for instance.
Yeah, I think one of the lasting memory for me of that class, to like harp on this for one more minute, is just we had a bunch of days where she would have us like bring in whatever we were interested in, like for whatever project we were working on, and just the random assortment of things. Like Joe, I think at one point you found your own box of like Bookshop cast-offs. I remember one person in the class, she wasn't in our department. I think she maybe was like auditing the class or something, but she brought in like her grandmother's like recipe. Like it was like a menu from her grandmother's restaurant or something like that. I think I was doing something with like Russian tattoos, like prison tattoos. So just all of these like random things that we were able to find a through line with, where I feel like it was so different from most other classes we had taken in the program, where it was like, you know, if we were working on a project, we were all working on some kind of similar thing, like, oh, this is a classroom practice. It might be a different class, it might be a different practice, but it's always got this thread, where the threads in everyday writing were so disparate, but it was still really interesting to see those kind of connections.
Well, I was going to say that I think what's interesting about the class was, and now it's been, you know, it's 2014, I think this is 10 years ago, literally. And I remember some of the reading lists, some of the stuff that we read. It was pretty sprawling in terms of it's like the fields that we were like reading from, you know, some things from like just like, you know, American culture stuff, like scrapbooking things or stuff about like sociolinguistics, like things that are like, you know, not necessarily infield. We did read some infield stuff, but Yancey had really like scoured to find things about like basically out of field to find this stuff. And so that to me is interesting, because it's just like, this is, you couldn't even turn inward for the most part within the field of rhetoric and composition to find a plethora of things that really theorize around weird stuff, you know, stuff that you have in your attic, stuff you have in your bedroom, you know. And if writing is a thing that we care about, why couldn't we look inward? I mean, there was some stuff, like Jody Shipka, for instance, is a good example, someone who was already theorizing with weird stuff, like Dorothy and Fred. You know, she went to a yard sale and just picked up a box of random crap, you know, and just, like, did so many cool things with it. You know, that's an example of someone in field who's doing cool stuff, where I think it's fine and kind of fascinating how, I mean, we read a whole bunch of stuff from, like, anthropology, things like that. But in addition to that, it was just people, like, to Jeff's point, people just brought in things and said, like, you just go back in your memory. Like, for me, I think about, like, when I was at Kutztown, and we used to go into our, like, in Kutztown, there was, like, a big old main building. And it was old, like, had to be from, like, 1850. And the desks had to be from, like, the 50s or something like that, the 1950s, who knows. And you just go in, it's just, like, a piece of wood, and people had been writing graffiti on this, had to be for decades. So there'd be writing on there from, like, students for, you know, years. And I would just add to it, and I just always found that so fascinating, you know, this kind of writing that people did collectively. They came in, they wrote on this stuff. Like, people have this stuff, and they're everywhere, you know? It's ubiquitous that this writing is just, like, and people are fascinated by it. It has a whimsy to it that people are really fascinated by. And so that's what we were theorizing. Both people brought in weird stuff or talked about the weird things in their lives and just, like, theorized from it. Or we had to read so far flung from the field, not that far flung, but, like, we read widely beyond the field to try to figure out what this new thing of everyday writing, like, was, you know, which 10 years ago in 2014 was a new thing, you know.
But I was teaching our, like, intro to writing studies class last semester, and we look at threshold concepts for the first part, and then we do like a feature article project and a layout project after that. Like, the first 3 weeks in, there was one student in particular who seemed like disconnected, bored, uninterested, and then somehow we ended up on that story that Yancey tells about the box in the bookstore. So I said, hey, you know, there's a bookstore around the corner. You should go ask to see if they have one of these boxes. And then the next class, she came in ready to talk about like the stuff in that box using, you know, using our terms like the way I expect a grad student, sort of just like appropriately naming how purpose, audience, sociality, all these things played into like this box. And it was just like a cool for people who are inclined to that kind of thing. I think it's, you don't get access to that kind of thing without everyday writing. Otherwise, I'm trying to think, everyday writing was, it was a better way to say not school, not work. So I like that. And it described a bunch of stuff it seemed like I already cared about. And I remember at the time on campus, like that class was happening and then they were working on that archive. And a lot of people were just talking about things like tattoos. Like I have a bunch of tattoos and all of a sudden people are talking about it like in my work building. Not my tattoos, but just tattoos, like to lots of detail. It's like, this is kind of wild. It's kind of interesting. Postcards.
Mm-hmm. Stephen McElroy and Katie Bridgman had started the postcard archive, maybe like a semester or two before that. And that was kind of getting off the ground. And so I think there was, you know, kind of coincidentally, like, you know, kind of intersection of, we had the postcard archive, which I think is a pretty good example of everyday writing. And then it, not just example of everyday writing, but it was an archive. So, and then I think Therese Graben had come in that year around that time. So she brought in some kind of archival interest. And so there was the everyday writing, the archive interest, like all of that stuff kind of compounded all together. Yeah. I think one, to kind of keep going back to the class, I think one thing that I also really liked about the class and that made it kind of more fun and exciting and interesting is it felt, and this goes to Joe's point about kind of how far reaching our readings felt, where the class felt kind of exploratory. Like everyday writing was our kind of like, you know, God term or whatever, but it didn't have a set definition. The class really was kind of working through, because none of our readings had the term everyday writing in it. It was like, you know, the sociolinguistics of writing, or we might talk about ordinary writing or mundane writing, or, you know, we had all these other terms, but then it was kind of up to us individually and as a class to determine what we felt like everyday writing was. And I think for me, that felt kind of, it felt more fun. It felt more, you know, I'm not working in visual rhetoric, which is already an established thing, or like assessment, already an established thing. It was like, where can we push forward, you know, in this area based on our own interests and kind of set our own agenda, which felt, you know, interesting and fun at the time.
Something I thought was interesting that you said earlier, Jacob, was like about your student who said, doesn't seem that interested. You have them go around the corner, collect some stuff, and they were able to talk really, you know, compellingly about this kind of writing. What's always, I think, when Yancey tells the story of how she found this stuff in D.C., and I've heard her tell the story many times, you know, as all of us probably have, but she always talks about how she was not alone when she went to the bookstore. She was with her sisters, and her sisters don't care about what she studies normally. Like, they don't care about this rhetoric and composition thing. They got their own kind of like thoughts about things. You know, I think some of them are lawyers or something like that. But when they were kind of involved in talking about like this box of random doodads and writing, they were really interested in it. They loved sifting through it. And I'll say, like, so I myself went around like the Philly area when I visited home with a couple of my friends. We did the same thing, and they don't care about this stuff, or they don't care about writing, you know, as they don't care about as an enterprise to theorize, but they did care about this thing. And the reality is, which is kind of, to me, why probably we're interested in it, is that people, it's hard to get the everyday person to care about composition, because as Jeff's research on defining everyday writing and all of us who teach first year writing know that when you ask a student about writing, they think writing is whatever you do in school, because that takes up the most labor and effort and most of their attention. And they don't consider all this other stuff writing. But when you do say, you know, what do you think about this meme? Or what do you think about this pile of weird stuff? You know, does your grandma have a recipe, right? Or I have a lot of students who like really like love to talk about the Christmas cards that their family collects over the years. You know, they love talking about it. They can speak really intelligently on it. And I think that is part of the reason why it's such an interesting avenue to explore because people care about it. Not just us in the field of rhetoric composition, but people, the people, you know, the public cares about this kind of thing.